Are you ready to transform your financial future through mortgage note investing? Hi, I'm Jamie Bateman, host of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. As a passionate entrepreneur myself and real estate investor myself, I've dedicated my career to empowering investors like you. Join my mentorship program tailored to meet your unique business objectives with a very small financial commitment to get started. Gain access to my personal experience, trusted consultants and vendors, and receive customized mentoring services. You'll get hands-on guidance on everything from determining your buy box and reviewing your bidding processes to managing notes with third-party servicers, handling collateral, and much more. Don't wait. Visit LabradorLending.com to start your journey to abundance today. Let's unlock your full potential together. Today, we get a chance to hear from Larissa Altianu. I know I say this all the time, but this one is well worth your time. Larissa came to the U.S. at 21 after having experienced an abusive and poverty-stricken upbringing. She had no money, I think $20 to her name, didn't know English, didn't have a network, slept on the floor at times, and within 4 years, she'd landed her dream job at a Fortune 500 company, and since then has been heavily focused on real estate investing, both single family and multifamily. We get into some of that. And she's a financial coach, an author, and really helps entrepreneurs with financial strategy and empowering individuals to achieve financial freedom. So there's so much to this. It's impossible for me to do a good job with this intro. There's so much value delivered, and the human element is front and center, and her just love of service and trying to help other people is very evident through this episode. A lot of practical value for sure, but a lot of inspiration. It's one of those, you know, everybody is dealt a different hand in life, but it's hard to argue with her point that if she can do it, you can do it too. She's reached a high level of wealth, and not just material wealth, but just the human element, like I said, and just the, I don't know how she's able to do it, but she's clearly very good at delivering a relaxed message and listening and really understanding someone else's problem and delivering value to them. And it's obviously worked well for her in her own journey from adversity to abundance. So definitely do not stop the podcast now. I highly recommend you play this one all the way through.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Bateman. And today, I'm excited to have with us Larissa Altianu. No, I said it wrong. Can you say your last name for us, Larissa?
Altianu.
Altianu. And good you job. Also go by Lottie.
Like those raw R's are
the rolling
tricky.
R.
The rolling R.
You said you'd forgive me, so.
Yes, 100%.
So, Larissa, for the listener who's not familiar with you, who are you and what are you up to today?
I am an investor, an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, and a wealth coach. Today, I run my business and I also the coaching business as well as educational. So it's an umbrella of services that we provide, and also run my investment portfolio in single family and multifamily.
Perfect.
So yeah, it's been a long journey, but that's in a nutshell where I'm at today.
Awesome. And what's the name of your coaching business?
Unshakable Wealth.
Love it. Awesome. So your story is fantastic for our podcast. I think it fits perfectly. And I'm excited to dive in and learn more about it. Let's jump back. Where are you, where were you born? Let's go there.
I was born in Moldova, which is the poorest country in Europe. So we're number one at something. Whoop, whoop.
Nice.
But not only that. I mean, we're also known for wine. We have a cellar that is over 100 kilometers, drive-through. So you actually go into the cellar with the car and check out all the good wines that we have there. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey in my country in terms of the things that I've learned that I was able to take with me throughout life and apply, and the adversities that I had specifically in the poorest country where survival is a real thing. That's what we constantly focus on at the time that I was growing up. Things have gotten a bit better now, but
Got
when I
it.
was growing up, it was pretty hard.
Okay, so obviously we're going to skip over some phases of your life. So just in a nutshell, what did the first 2 decades of your life look like there?
The first 2 decades of my life were very interesting. And I say that in the American way of saying interesting,
It
because that word can mean a lot of things.
sure does. Yes.
So I grew up in an abusive household. So my father was an alcoholic, which was actually a stepdad. And I have witnessed all kind of physical abuse to my mom, so I would get in front of them and try to protect my mom from him. I mean, one morning I woke up and I was six, and I walk into the kitchen and I witnessed my stepdad holding my mom by one foot outside of the window, and we lived on the fifth floor. So it was an
Wow.
apartment building that had 9 floors, and we lived on the fifth floor, and she's screaming and he's getting ready to let her go.
Wow.
And it was terrifying, but my response was, hey, how can I solve it? Because that was the immediate thing that I've learned. Solve this, protect. So I leaned closer and I started talking to him. So he pulled her out, said, "You're lucky you have your daughter." And obviously, as a child, I wasn't thinking of the trauma that I was experiencing. I was like,
Yeah.
okay, my mom is safe.
Sure.
Thank
Right.
God.
Yeah, we got through this, but I mean the aftermath I can only imagine. Not just from that incident, but it sounds like
Yeah,
many
this
other
was one of the
incidents.
most dramatic ones. There
Sure.
are other dramatic ones too, but
Yeah.
it was the norm. Also, it was interesting because we were pretty poor. I mean, there was one point where we were sharing food with our cat.
Wow.
But he and his brother had a metal company before we really went like sharing food with a cat. And they were in the 90s making $100,000 within months. And that's from Moldova. And that's in the 90s, in the poorest country in Europe. And
That's
what
like,
I've witnessed,
yeah, that's like $1 million now here or something. I mean,
I
it's
don't even,
maybe not the.
I should like do the math, but I
Yeah,
feel it was like
a
huge.
lot.
You're probably right. It was a lot. And I witnessed a lot of drinking parties, a lot of gambling, women, and all kinds of destructive behaviors that just made that money go away, and it never resulted in anything good for
Wow.
them. So,
Wow.
quite an experience for
I
that.
yeah, that man, that is a lot. And for the listener, I didn't know most of that before we hit record. So that's some heavy stuff for sure. Obviously, sorry you had to go through that. Sounds like from knowing some about the rest of your story, it sure sounds like you've been able to use some of that, the pain and trauma that you experienced and that just the lessons you learned through that and turn it around, hence from adversity to abundance, put yourself in a better environment, a better situation. So at 21, you came to the US. How did you come to the US and what were the conditions like at that point?
Yeah, so before we go to that, I just want to mention something. There was two inflection points, as you mentioned. So I want to kind
Yeah,
of, so it
please.
was a lot of adversity, but I wouldn't change it
That's
because it
a key
made
point.
me who I am today.
I love that.
And that's number one. Number two, I've gained skills of how to deal with angry people, you know, how to talk to them in a way that calms them down and makes them more rational rather than operating out of their instinctive
Sure.
human parts of the brain.
Yeah.
I then what happened, so the two inflection points. One was again around 7 years old when they were sitting, the two brothers were sitting in our living room having their coffee, smoking their cigarettes, and talking about, hey, we can't have this money under a mattress. We have to invest in real estate because no matter what happens in the world, people will always need a place to live.
It's very true. Yeah.
Now, I wish they would have followed with the
Right.
conversation.
But that planted a seed for you.
That did. That really did. And then once I came to US, I will circle back to that and see
Yeah,
where
yeah.
that played out.
No, that's
So the
great.
second inflection point is obviously I was so eager for my mom to just separate from this because I just
Sure.
couldn't deal with all of this mess anymore. I'm like, I
Yeah.
want peace. So they finally split up, but my mom didn't have an education, so she couldn't find a job. At 16, she left me and my 4-year-old brother completely on our own and moved to Italy to get a job. So I found myself a teenager with a 4-year-old in my hand to
Wow.
raise, and I had to learn how to budget and cook and everything, like become basically a single parent
Right.
overnight. That again, I wouldn't change it for anything because it played out in different ways throughout the
Yeah.
abundance road. So I'm gonna
Yeah.
shift and
Both of
bring those
those.
moments
No,
back.
I love the two teasers and the fact that you pointed out that those were two inflection points. And you know, at the time though, I'm sure you weren't thinking, oh, I'm going to learn so much from this. This is I would not change this. This is so great. What I'm going to gather from this. I love adversity so much. I want more adversity. So, how do you, for the listener, and because we all face adversity, and will you're going to face more adversity, right? I mean, in your life, and we all do. So, how do you recommend people approach that? And again, we're not every situation is different, but. Maybe today, are you more able to see that an adversity might be a blessing in disguise?
100%. Yes.
Okay. How do you do that?
That's the first step. So when you are in pain, when you're hurting, when you're like, first of all, a lot of people go back to why is this happening to me, right?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
reframing that, what do I need to learn from where I am today
Yeah.
to
Really good.
take to the next level? Because if you're not experiencing big things in your life in terms of adversity, you're not meant for big things.
Wow, that's really good.
You're being molded and shaped and given all the skills that you need to go to the next level through the adversity. Now, that is really hard.
Right. It's easy to say that, right?
Yes. It
Right.
is really easy to, like, for me to stand back and say, hey, yeah, cool, I've been through this, I've got
Right.
out. I experience adversities today, and I like, you know, I've experienced them throughout the whole journey, and I feel overwhelmed sometimes. And I do go through moments of depression, and I'm like, okay, here's
Yeah.
how I do it. Like, literally, here's a tip that I stop on the tracks and get myself back to it. I'm like, okay, I understand this is overwhelming. I understand, okay, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling in my normal motivational state.
Sure.
Let me take it one step at a time. What's the first step?
Yeah. Yeah, that's no, just to get a little bit of momentum and then get some traction, and then you can get unstuck, and then you're less in the victim mindset, right? And get to that more abundance mindset. So
Yeah, and then the next question that I ask is,
okay, yeah.
what do I need to learn? Like, why? Not why am I here, but what are the things that I need to learn from
Yeah.
this right here and now?
Sure.
And then the other thing is looking back in your past and not judge yourself for the past, but thinking, I was in this situation. What did I learn from that? And a prime example that I can give on this one is
Yeah.
I invested into a single family house. And it was Hurricane Harvey. The area was the first time that it flooded. It was a beautiful, if not flooded, it was
Yeah.
in the neighborhood, golf course neighborhood, beautiful $700,000 to $800,000 home. And it flooded and it was a deal. It was like $200,000. So I bought it. We went through the renovation and put it on the market. And 2 months or less than 2 months from the moment that we started to putting it on the market and being on the market for a bit, another flood comes through.
Wow.
Smaller, not big, nothing that
Sure.
he got inside the house or anything like that. But again, it blew up in the news.
Yeah.
Hey, this area is getting
Sure.
flooded again. So
Right. It kills the demand for that, the market and properties in that area. Sure.
yeah. And with that, it's like, okay, I have lost money on that home.
Yeah.
$40,000.
Right.
That was
That's
the first and only home that I have lost money.
gotcha.
Now, why am I thankful for that? Because now I can think through a property in different ways. Hey, what can I do with this home instead of being like, okay, I'm having it for sale and I'm going to try to sell. I'm going to try to sell. The
Right.
other thing is, what could I have done differently? Maybe looking at the price and dropping the price faster. You know,
Sure.
like all of those, what did I learn from this experience
Sure.
that now I can apply it? And when
Yeah.
you go back in the past, there's a lot of these experiences that we
Right.
just kind of leave them behind and move on. But taking a look, non-judgmental look in
Right.
it, learning what are the things that I can take and apply.
And I just wanted to highlight the non-judgmental part, which you've said twice, but it's easy to gloss over the, and because I know for me, I don't always have the most self-compassion, and it's easy to view yourself in a negative light, your past self in a negative light, because you have the luxury of hindsight, and you have hopefully learned some lessons from it, and so yeah, you look pretty bad if you look at it through that lens, like because you wouldn't necessarily do the same thing today. But also, some of that was out of your control, the fact that there was a second flood. And look, you were doing the best you could. And most serious real estate investors have lost money on deals. So it's not uncommon at all. But I
Yeah.
think having that self-compassion is critical in when you're doing that reflecting. I couldn't agree more.
It's interesting. Someone in my journey asked me, how do you think you're a pretty judgmental person? No, I kind of look at people the way they are, accept the way they are, and that's how I roll. And they're like, okay, how hard do you judge yourself? I'm like, well, I try not to, but there are moments that I would kind of look and say, hey, you know, could have done this, could have done that.
Right.
And they looked at me and said, do you know that those two are equal?
Yeah. They're the same thing. And it also, I think, and not to go too far in this, but I think it can, speaking from personal experience, it can, you're too focused on criticizing yourself. It really does hold you back from showing up as your best self, the best version of yourself for others. Really silly example, maybe, but I play a lot of pickleball these days, and that I might m make a bad shot, and then I'm just overanalyzing in the moment what I did wrong and blaming myself, and then realize we've already started the next point, and I'm not being a very good partner right now because I'm beating myself up about, something that, I mean, look, it's pickleball, doesn't matter, but when you apply that to bigger things in life, and it's easy to get so focused on judging yourself that it actually does hurt others too, I think, because you're not there for them as much. So again, speaking from personal experience. So let's go to age 21. You get to the US. How did you get to the US, and what were the conditions like when you got here?
So I was at the University of Moldova, and they were giving an opportunity to go to US for 3 months and travel for the 4th month. So you go, you get a contract, you work, and then for the save some money, and for the 4th month you travel. So I borrowed the money to because when we were living just by ourselves, it wasn't enough money. We were living on $133 a month, and most of that, half of that, would go to my brother's medication. So we had bill authorities knocking at our door constantly. And yes, my neighbors would come and hook up the light illegally because we couldn't afford to pay
Mm.
it.
You got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
So I had to borrow the money. I came to US and I was in Galveston, Texas, out of all
Okay.
places. By the way, I thought it was a beautiful beach. Like I came with
It's all relative.
US Florida in mind, and then I land for some reason I didn't go to Google to look. I just didn't. That's my thing there. So I land and I'm looking and I'm like, oh my gosh, that does not
This
look
is
like
not what I was
Florida.
expecting. Got it.
But my first job was a server. And it was actually funny because when we got there, they were testing us on English skills to determine what kind of position we'll get. So it was you could get a busboy, host, or server. So I was sitting next to a girl from Moldova who was studying English as her major in college. And I turned to her and I said, "Hey, how do I say that I'm from Republic of Moldova and I go to technical university?" So she told me that, and oh, and I asked her, "My name is." So the lady goes around, comes to me, and I'm like, "Hi, my name is Larissa. I go to Technical University of Moldova." And then I just smile. Well, with that, she decides that my English is
it's good.
perfect.
It's right. Yeah, you shot yourself in the foot by looking good. No.
And then I start the service. So it was really interesting because I get to the first table, and of course I don't know anything what they're saying, and they're
Right. pointing
pointing at the menu, and then
Yeah,
they
trial
call the
by fire.
manager afterwards and tell him that I got it all messed up, and they packed up the order and left. So
I mean, that's hard enough. I was a, you know, I did that as well, and I'd like to think my English was pretty decent. But learning a new menu, I've been in that position without the language challenge, put it that way, and that was challenging enough to figure out. Wait, what am I? I don't know anything about this menu. And, you know, people can be difficult. And also, they are paying for a good experience. So, yeah, man, I can only imagine. I think that's a great job for any young person to do, really, is because you practice so many skills, listening skills, and you're just on your toes figuratively and li literally, like for your whole shift. And you're just con there are a lot of things to juggle mentally. But so you're a server, and what are your living conditions like at that time?
we were renting an apartment. It was a lot of us living in that 2-bedroom apartment. So we're sharing that, and it was first we kind of shared our hotel room, and then we moved to the apartment. And it's interesting because you mentioned about the learning skills that you acquire as a server. So back to one area that I was able to apply those skills of calming someone down or speaking the way I needed to speak to resolve the conflict that was happening at home. The same thing when I became a server. It got to the point that my manager would send me whenever somebody was drunk and somebody
Really?
was creating troubles because I knew how to calm them down.
Wow.
I was making the most tip because I knew how to communicate in a calm and very connectable way. And that
Yeah.
served me well through the real estate world too, because it's a people's business.
Sure, absolutely. I think that's critical. It's not just the words of the language. It's that human, there's nonverbal and the tone, you know, and all that that's probably more important than the words you're speaking in moments like that.
So I worked for 3 months. I paid it back, and I was left with around $500. And I was like, okay, well, I can go travel America with $500. So the people that came, most of them too, because it was a group of students. Many of them didn't borrow, so I borrowed. I had to return that, and I'm like, maybe I travel around the cities, whatever cities Houston has. Well, my luck with hurricanes.
Oh no.
Hurricane I comes, so we have to evacuate Houston. So we spend the funds, or I spend the funds with some friends, again, the students and us, kind of getting a person and car, whatever, booking hotel in Dallas. So needless to say, I get to the airport after all of this stuff is over and done, and I'm sitting on the chair, and I have $20, my ticket, and the decision to, like, do I go or do I stay?
Wow. $20. No great. Your English is probably a
3 months
little
in.
3 months in. No real network, so to, I mean, in established here. And so, yeah, what's going through your mind? How'd you make the decision for the next step?
Terrified. I was so sick that I wanted to vomit. Like, my nervous system was like, okay. I obviously, like you mentioned, the network was friends that came from the same place I came, so they're
They'd have
going
no
back.
better.
We're all waiting to go,
They
like,
don't
get
have
on.
any advantages that you don't have. They're not super helpful in.
Yeah, like, they're just going back, so goodbye, everyone. And I just, for some reason, I had this feeling in me that I just didn't want to leave. Like, I was watching my friends, because there was a lot of shuffling in the flight. Some were canceled, some were delayed, and some of my friends were there at the kiosk crying, but I want to get home, but I want to get home. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't want to go. But I'm
Well,
so terrified. I'm scared.
I mean, I can understand why you didn't want to go back based on what you've already shared, but it's also not really comforting to stay here, I would imagine. So somewhat both are, both are somewhat bad options at that point, but sounds like you trusted your gut at that point and decided to stay here, right?
Yes, so I decided to stay, and I had someone, so at the airport, some friends of mine had a person from the US that brought them to the airport. I didn't know the person very well, but I figured, hey, he has a phone that I can use because it's a US phone. And I met this guy who was a chef at the restaurant. So maybe I can, like, I can call. Maybe he can let me call. So I call Martin, and I'm like, can you come pick me up? I think I want to stay.
Well, I love the fact that, I mean, I guess you didn't really have any other choice, but the fact is you started looking for opportunities and solutions at that point. How, not so much poor me, this is terrible, I'm stuck here in the US, or I don't want to go home, I don't want to be here. You started looking for, yeah, you found a phone, you found a person who you knew and connected with that person, and then sounds like you never looked back.
No, never looked back. So I went back to working as a server and started the process of changing my paperwork
Got it.
from, like, whatever visa that I had, and then went through several visas because my big thing was stay here legally. I do not want to stay here illegally. So I went through two visa changes to make
Got it.
sure that I, so the last visa, like, which was my ultimate goal, was a student visa. So I went to a regular community college, applied there, started the courses. I was working and was paying my way through college, went to transfer to a university, finished. While at the university, I was looking at the list of the employers. And I'm like, okay, who is the top? Because that's who I want to
Nice.
go to. And then my strategy, and I'm like, and that's how I think my brain works in general for anything that I approach. Like, how do I get to Jamie? Like, what do I know about Jamie? What can I learn about Jamie? And how I can get in contact with Jamie,
Are you trying to
right?
manipulate me right now?
No,
I'm
not at
just
all.
kidding. I'm
It's just
kidding. I'm
really
joking.
doing your homework.
Yeah, sure.
Because a lot of what I see is people kind of wait for stuff to fall
Sure.
into
Right.
their lap.
Right.
But those that are really succeeding, and for you who is listening,
Right.
it's not a born skill, it's actually an acquired skill. It's preparation and intentionality.
I love that. And preparation, intentionality, also proactivity and creativity. I mean, because the plan never goes to plan, right? It doesn't, you don't execute it to plan. It is imperative you have that intentionality and that plan, but it's never going to go the way you think. So you still have to be creative and proactive, and instead of waiting, like you said, and wait for everything to drop into your lap. So, but yeah, I don't want you to find me because I don't, your luck with hurricanes, scares me. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But
No, but I'm
okay.
saying it's like from like the perspective of in general, like how
Yeah.
it's not so much how do I, like create some fake
Yeah, no,
relationship.
right.
It's more
Sure.
of how do I intentionally care about the person? How
Yeah.
do I intentionally care about the company that I'm going to interview?
Right.
How do I intentionally care about everyone that I come in contact when it comes to real estate?
That's so good. Right.
How do I learn about them as a human being?
Right. Well, and I think it's that's what I'm glad you clarified or pushed back or whatever, because it's more about the other people. And so you're really trying to serve other people, not, and when you're a victim and take that mindset, which we all, fall into at times, you're focused on yourself, like I said earlier, and you're not showing up for other people. So yeah, it's not some sleazy sales tactic or manipulative, tactic. It's to actually solve a problem, and you do that through listening and understanding where other people are coming from. And then, oh, by the way, that helps you as well.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we, regardless of what we do, real estate, not real estate, at the
Yeah.
core of it all, we are humans.
Right. Absolutely.
And caring about the other human on the other side, it's what's gonna stay
Yeah.
with them.
For sure.
Because when it all said and done, when in it's not uncommon for someone to go up and then completely fall down. And it
Yeah.
could be like for reasons that we had control, or for reasons that you didn't have control.
Sure.
And I love that you mentioned, Jamie, about making plans and they might not go your way. I love this saying is, if you want to make God laugh, create a perfect plan, expect it to happen.
Right. Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, it's a human.
Yeah.
And when you get to that bottom, let's say, because you could control or could not control,
Right.
is there people that are going to care about you? Are there people
Sure.
that you would care about, like removing everything that you have? So
Right.
that's the ultimate question. Like, did I learn about Jamie to love him the way he is,
Right.
in terms of like as a human, as a person? And I am big in faith, so I would say as my brother in Christ.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I love that. Okay, so you go from age 21 to, sounds like, age 25. That 4 year period was an incredible growth spurt, if you will. Talk us through those 4 years.
So, very, very interesting time going to college and paying off that college while working, getting the internship with the company, and then coming on board. And then, as soon as I came on board, I was like, okay, basic human need, real estate.
Sure.
I started investing in a 401k and I actually blindly went in and I was like, oh, I kind of like 25 and I don't know what this is. I think I like
That's how we all are with
15%,
those. You just right. You,
like a checklist, done, whatever. It
yeah.
will do its match. No clue.
Sure. How would you have a clue at that point? Right.
Completely different financial system. One, I didn't really learn the financial system in my country because I was on survival mode.
Right. But it may not have been too applicable anyway here.
Exactly. And then I come here and I'm like, 401k, I have no idea what it is, but they say I should invest in
Yeah.
it. Okay. And I'm just going to slap some numbers in here
Right.
and then
Sure.
cross my finger and pray and say, I did invest in the 401k.
Yeah.
Check mark. Because, like when you do the onboarding, they're just like, consider
Yeah.
doing this and doing this and doing
Right.
that.
It
Okay,
is, and
done.
it's interesting, the guy who I think wrote the code for Congress, who created, he wrote the 401k law, basically. He's like, I never intended the 401k to be the end all be all of retirement for Americans. It can be a good vehicle, and everyone, it maybe is a controversial topic, but it's such the default retirement vehicle because of the match. But ultimately, it's also meant to kind of keep you tied to your employer as well. So it just the fact that there are alternatives to it, it doesn't mean it's bad, but it's one vehicle. So talk more about the kind of, how you got into wealth management and investment strategies.
Yeah, so on the 401k topic,
Yeah.
you can imagine my delight when I learned that you can combine that with real estate and actually make it work for you rather than what you just mentioned, Jamie. So I'm
Yeah.
gonna come back to that
Yeah.
later. Stay tuned, y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all, hey, you'll see.
Lots of
I
teasers
picked
along the
up
way.
the yeah, and I picked up the y'all, so you know
All
I'm
right. Galveston.
from Texas. But I went to a seminar.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, okay, I've got to get into real estate because no matter what, real estate is what people are going to need. They're going to need a
Sure.
place. So I went to a seminar, and one thing that is just I thought at the time is like, hey, find someone who does already that can help me, like show me what I need to do, at least give me a good push, and then I'll figure it out. Now, before, just before, I just want to mention something. Before that, I was going to a house party, in one of the expensive neighborhoods in Houston.
Okay.
So I'm in a car, I'm driving through this neighborhood, and I see these massive houses. So the first question that comes into my mind is, what the heck do these
These
people
people
do
do. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
they can afford living in this place? And then the second question is, why do they need these big houses? You
Right.
can drive a bike through the whole thing.
I still ask myself that second question sometimes, but
It was interesting. I mean, I think, like you said, you ask yourself this, and sometimes we need that check, like,
right.
really need 15 bedrooms and
Right. No, that's yeah. So you're all of a sudden you're exposed, you were exposed to we'll call it extreme wealth, whether you still think that or not, I don't know, but you were exposed to the next level that you didn't even know was possible probably at that point. And so,
100%.
and okay, and then you, like you said earlier, you try to find somebody that who can help you. And how did that go?
Yeah, so when I went to that party,
Yeah.
I was wondering what do the people do? I get there, and so we start talking about, and the owner of the home tells me he does real estate.
Light bulb.
So he's saying that he's been investing in real estate, mostly single family. He's been doing that for a while. And he evolved into commercial too. And while I'm in this search, right, I experienced this in US And I have that little sparkle inflection moment from my childhood. So I'm
Right.
like, I need to put this into gears. I really need to find who can. Like, I knew I could probably ask him some questions, but if I pay someone,
Sure.
that would get me more incentivized, and then
That's
they'll
true.
put it, they will give me also their time,
That's a
right?
good
So,
point. But both sides. Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
yeah, because
Absolutely.
a lot of times when you get free mentorship, it's more like, hey, when I have time, which is
Yeah.
understandable. They run their stuff.
Well,
So,
that
whatever.
and both, you like you said, you don't value it as much either if you don't put anything into it. So any
100%.
financial commitment. So okay, so that was the your first teaser with your from your the two brothers sitting at the table talking about they should invest in real estate.
Yeah.
And now
Yeah. So
this
then
is
I.
your second reminder, second kind of slap in the face, if you will, about real estate.
I think it was kind of God's nudging.
Got it.
I go back to, hey, who I am and what I am and what I have and what I don't have. It's all God.
Sure.
But it is through these moments in life that brought it. So then I went to the seminar. I get excited about it. I'm like, okay, I'm signing up. I don't have the money. It's like $8,000. What am I going to do?
Right.
Well, I'm going to scrape everything I have, and then I'll probably get a credit card, which, yeah, I did. And then I'll put it on credit card. Credit card, again, not something that my country does, something that US does. So, like, I want to do it. So I am going to do it. So, yeah, from there, what happened is as soon as I joined in October. Every single night after work, I would come home and stay for a few hours looking and looking for homes and running and running numbers. And sure enough, October came, December, I had my first property under contract. January, I closed.
Were
And
you looking?
with
Was
that,
this going to be a rental or fix and flip? Or
rental.
okay, got it.
Rental. So I bought it for about 96,000. I got it through hard money. Because again, I don't have the 20%, right? I'm like,
Right.
what can I use to be resourceful?
So you found a hard money lender for the down payment and also got a conventional mortgage because you were working.
Yes.
You could qualify for a mortgage on this or a regular bank loan as well. Okay, so
Yeah.
all
And
right.
the things have gotten easier now. Like right now, you don't need to have a job to do a conventional. You do a DSCR,
Right,
no
exactly.
docs, and you're good. At the time, yeah, like I remember that person that his name is Danny that I met. One thing that he said, keep your W-2.
That can still help for sure, but you're right. The DSCR option, you know, where for any listeners not familiar, it's where essentially you're qualifying for the loan based on the past or projected revenue from the investment property itself. So you're the rental income should pay for the mortgage that you're getting on the property, and you're not qualifying based on. They may run your credit, but you're not qualifying based on your income, your personal income. So, I mean, I've gone that route many times, and it's a great option. So how did that first property go for you?
Yeah, so it was a great property. I got it remodeled. It wasn't a heavy remodel, but still needed paint, flooring, you know, nothing. What I mean heavy wasn't like moving walls or changing
Sure.
plumbing or anything like that. And right away was cash flow on $250. So I ended up capturing about $35,000 worth of equity in it.
And that's with the hard money loan still on it.
That's with the hard money loans too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Everything all said and done, and out of pocket, I was 6K.
Wow. That's so great.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I imagine you paid off the hard money loan, right?
Oh, yeah. So out of pocket after like both closes. So, like you
Okay.
mentioned, it was hard money.
Yeah.
It was hardly anything out of pocket when I did
Got it.
hard money. And
I
then
see.
when
And then
I did the conventional,
you
that's
paid
when
off
I
the hard money. Got it. Understood.
yeah. Pay the
Got
hard
it.
money, and that was when I did the 6K out of pocket. And yeah, that home, it was nothing fancy. I mean, it's just Simple neighborhood,
Yeah.
rented it out. Of course, again, the advantage of going through someone that has already done it,
Yeah.
it's huge because they had the hard money lenders says like, hey, you can contact
You
XYZ.
right,
They
you're
had
plugged
some
into their network right away, right?
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Lenders, rehab people,
Right.
all like like how do you screen tenants? I would have
Yeah,
probably had
right. You don't
anybody
think
in
about this
there.
stuff. Right. I mean, and some people may say like $8,000, that's crazy. You know, maybe that's even, I mean, that would be 12,000. I don't know what year this was, but you know.
2014.
Okay,
So
so not
it
10 years
was still
ago.
a
So
lot now.
let's say 10,000, 12, you know, it's still a lot. It's a lot of money. And there are some charlatans out there, and there are some people who should not necessarily cut a 10 grand check to without asking questions. But think about the mistakes you likely would have made and the time value of money, even if you weren't making mistakes, you know, big mistakes on your own. You got to a point so much faster than you would have on your own. It would have taken years to get to probably where you were in 6 months by going through this program and being plugged in. You know, I know you do coaching now, so it's something I would guess is kind of similar where, you know, I don't know what your pricing looks like, but man, if you don't have any kind of mentor or coach in your corner, you're really cutting your, you're really shooting yourself in the foot. So you got plugged into the network, and then kind of quickly, what did it look like from your first rental property, maybe up through today, or maybe the high point of your real estate investing?
Yeah, so before I answer that, I just want to highlight what you just said, right? The speed
Yeah, the speed,
that
yeah.
you get to do this stuff
Yeah.
and the network that you build, and you probably
It's huge.
heard your net worth is your network.
Yes.
In the this I went back to them and it wasn't even paying a coach. It was like getting into a group.
I
I wasn't
gotcha.
getting like,
Yeah.
yeah, you I could have gotten a coach,
Sure.
but it was
Right.
like at that time huge.
Sure. Yeah.
So and here's another thing that I want to mention. If you pay, but you do not put the time and effort,
Yes. So true. It's
it's not going to turn out good.
no, that's, and you're absolutely right. I do mortgage note investing mentorship. We also recommend people join groups and things, but yeah, it ultimately comes down to you. That's the, I can't do the work for you. As a mentor, I can't do the work for you, but I want to work with people who want to do the work. And, that's a critical piece. I mean, you can't be successful without that, rolling up your sleeves and putting in the work yourself for sure.
Yeah, and taking risks. Even I go back and I tell them you undercharged at that time. You're still undercharging now because with all the properties that I've gotten, with all the money that I have made, that 8K, it's like a drop in the bucket.
Nothing. Yeah.
It's nothing. It really is nothing.
Isn't that
But
crazy considering what you were living on
and
and
the
as a child?
scariness, because I was like sitting there, I'm like, I have nothing
Right.
and I'm getting in debt to
Right.
get. I'm not recommending,
Right.
like it's totally about you and your risk
Right.
appetite.
For sure.
But for me is if I want it bad enough,
Yeah.
I would make it work.
Well, and I think coming from where you came from, you almost had nothing to lose. You know, it's, you've already been through quite a bit of adversity and poverty and an abusive household. And so, you know, I was deployed to Iraq one time, you know, for a year, and we were, before we were deployed, you know, we'd get our wrist slapped for ordering. It was silly. We'd break silly rules that our own our own leadership put on us, and we would say, well, we're already headed to Iraq, what are they going to do, send us to Iraq? I mean,
Yeah.
you know, we it's you know, what, you've already been through pretty much the worst there is, so what do you have to lose? So I would imagine your appetite for risk was a little bit higher than maybe someone who was born into wealth. because they may be more afraid of losing it all. But
You know, that's so powerful what you just said. And I wonder if every time we make a step, we truly ask ourselves, what do I have to lose? Like, really? What
Sure.
is the worst thing?
Sure.
So, if you lose your home, all right, so what's the worst thing? You might get an apartment, you might get on someone's couch.
Right. But
They
you're
kill
still
us.
okay. No.
What do you have to lose? You might have kids. Again, you might end up in an apartment or on someone's couch. Still
Okay.
alive. Can
Right.
you bounce back?
Yeah.
What do you have to lose? Your friends are going to say that you're a loser and that you didn't calculate what you did. Okay. They would say
No.
something anyway.
Yeah. And if you lose friends in that moment,
You
maybe,
shouldn't
or
have them anyway.
right, for
If you
sure.
lost friends in a position where you took a risk because you wanted to follow what is in your heart,
Right.
then those are not friends.
Right.
They were never were.
But you're right to spend some time really thinking about the realistically the worst case scenario, the realistic worst case scenario, and think through that a little bit and how bad would it actually be, most likely. Probably not that bad, right?
And even like in the US, I used to be terrified bankruptcy. When I hear the word bankruptcy, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Then I started thinking, I'm like,
It's not a bad option
okay.
for people, to be
It
honest.
clears up every, I mean, like, I'm not saying y'all don't go and do, right? But I'm like, well, we have plenty of billionaires that went through bankruptcy. They're still okay. They went and built it bigger and better. As long as you do not lose who you are, you have gained a valuable life lesson.
So good. It's really good. Awesome. So, today, what do things look like for you, as far as your investing strategies or maybe your real estate portfolio? We'll talk in a little bit more about your coaching, but from a personal investing and maybe personal financial situation, how does that compare today from where you came from?
Yeah, so since starting this whole journey, I've done anything from wholesaling to flipping to rentals, whatever you call. It's just a matter of looking at a property and from different angles and seeing what is the way to make it a deal. Not is this a rental deal? If it's not, I'm gonna pass. Is what does it look like to make it a deal?
Well,
What
and I
strategy
think
do we
I just
apply?
my own two cents on that is that, you shouldn't necessarily start out that way just
No.
because you don't have the skill set and maybe you're not plugged into a group like you were. But I think over time, as you add more tools to your tool belt, that is such a comforting thing to know is like, well, if this property that I thought was a fix and flip doesn't sell, I'll just turn it into a rental. Or, I have one that I'm looking at making a long-term rental into a short-term rental. I've never done short-term rentals, but we're going to try it and see how it goes. And, on paper, it looks good, but if it doesn't really work, I just make it a long-term rental again. That's a minor example, but it's and I, now being in the, as a note investor, and you have a lot more options, and so I love that approach for a more experienced investor like yourself, where you see a deal, how does this deal look? What's the best, most profitable way to approach that versus I do single-family residential rental properties and that's it. So that makes a ton of sense. So,
Yeah, and you know, with you can go midterm rental. You can go like there's so many ways to slice a real estate property. But yeah, from there I started doing, like I said, all of these types, looking at the deals, and then in 2021 I sold most of what I had in the single family space and went into an apartment complex.
Okay. Got it.
And that has been great.
Okay.
And is going very well. And now I'm continue actually continuing investing in single family home, because for me, that's the when you go into an apartment complex, the timeline is
Yeah,
way
for
longer than
sure.
it is for a single family.
Especially with COVID and all the, a lot of
Yes.
these syndication, projects have been extended a little bit beyond the typical 5 to 7 years.
And it's also because you have like the you have to remodel the units and the property is occupied. So you have to wait until each tenant
Tenant moves out.
moves and when it
Sure.
moves and then there so and then there is the outside. And so there is a lot
It's a
of
heavy lift.
yeah. And then when you project for the apartment complex, that you project it for a longer time frame. And the
Sure.
fact that interest rates have kind of, been
Yeah.
not like
Not
we love them to be at
investor
2%.
friendly rates, that's for
Yeah.
sure.
Then that kind of puts the timeline, it stretches the timeline
For
because
sure.
like we plan to refinance, we're plan to do XYZ, but now
Right.
because of interest rates, now this whole thing is longer.
Yeah, the
So
value of the property is less than it was projected to be, in many cases. I don't know about.
or we're like right now, we're locked in for a very good interest rate. So there's
Right.
no
You
point for us to refinance at
sure.
like 7% or seven and
Yeah,
something.
makes
So it's
sense.
like different things. So basically, it's liquidity, t not liquidity, but a lot of liquid cash tied into a longer
Right.
period for this type of asset. So I'm back into investing in single family because
Got it.
it's quick. Like,
Yeah.
and right now for me, I here's the thing. I'm the type of person, which is a controversial topic, is really care as much, even for apartments. I don't really care as much as what the interest rate is.
Okay.
And I say that because, like we said, slices and dice, how can you
Yeah.
make this a deal?
Sure.
So when the interest rates are high, what is happening? A lot of people pull back. When a lot of people pull back, that means the prices go down, and that means there's more negotiation power for the seller to work with the seller.
Right, to work with the seller.
So now it's like equity capturing time. And
It's
we
so true.
know that naturally it's a cycle. You go back and look at the cycles of real estate, it's gonna the interest rate is gonna go down at some point.
Right.
So I'm gonna go back and refinance. And now not only I have the equity, now I'm gonna get even more cash flow if I decide to rental. And again, I can do short-term rental, I can do midterm rental,
Yeah.
I can do rental by rooms. Like there's a whole
No, I
lot of
love it. And
stuff.
yeah, I had a guest on long a while back, Dave Van Horn. He's done really well in mortgage notes and real estate and similar approach where he just said, "Tell me what the rules are and I'll find a way to win." Like, and when I say the rules, that means also market conditions like, interest rates and things, but there's always an opportunity regardless of what the conditions are. You just have to be flexible and figure that out. You always have an advantage in your position if you're willing to go that, use it and see it first. But and I imagine with the multifamily, you're a limited partner. Is that right?
Yes,
Gotcha.
limited partner. I want to mention something that I said about the 401k. I don't know if you want me to mention now or you have a question for me specifically on what we're talking.
Yeah, sure.
So, when I left the corporate world, I decided to like take a leap of faith and go into entrepreneurship and rely on my portfolio in terms of cash flow and stuff
Your
like that.
income, right?
And I had the 401k, right? I mentioned I started with, and I'm like, okay, so what can I do with this 401k? I can leave it with them. I can move it into an IRA.
Right.
You can roll it into
Yeah.
a mega backdoor
Roth.
401k.
Like a Roth 401k.
And it's actually the mega
Oh,
backdoor.
okay.
It's comprised of three things.
Okay.
The before tax, after tax, and a Roth.
Okay.
So it's like one, three in one.
Gotcha.
And it's a self-directed type of account to where you get a checkbook,
Right.
right?
Checkbook IRA.
Yes. And in this case, it's a 401k. It's
Okay,
not
got
an
it.
IRA because
Sure.
I was looking, I'm like, okay, if I do a self-directed, I could do it in an IRA. But no, hang on a second. The IRA only lets me contribute about $7,500 a
Right.
year. The 401k lets
Yeah,
me
it's much
contribute over
more.
60,000 as a business owner a year.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's
So
incredible.
I'm like, is there, this is like amazing.
Yeah, and a
So
lot of
if
people.
I could, yeah, go
No, go
ahead.
ahead.
No, so if I contribute, so first I roll over what I had. And then if I contribute to the Roth 401k over 60K a year, and now I'm writing checks and buying these properties,
It's incredible. It's so powerful.
it's like
How can you?
tax-free
Yeah.
all the way.
Yeah, it is amazing. And we in the mortgage note space, we deal with a lot of IRA. We usually just call them IRA custodians because that's the most common vehicle that people use with these custodians. But there are other alternatives like the EQRP and other whatever, structures, I guess. But ultimately they're self-directed, like you said, and some of these bigger, I think even Vanguard will say, oh yeah, it's a self-directed account. No, it's not the same thing. We're talking about where you can invest in real estate, mortgage notes. There are only a few items you're not allowed to invest in per the
It's like
IRS,
art,
but
collectibles, art, or something like.
collectibles, right? Exactly. Art, like one other thing I think, but the people, a lot of people don't even know this exists. And it works really well with mortgage notes, by the way, because mortgage notes do not have any inherent tax benefits, that real estate does. And so when you're using a self an account like that, a tax advantaged account, you can kind of solve that tax problem and pair it with mortgage notes. But that's pretty advanced, and I definitely it sounds like you know what you're talking about with that stuff. So
Yeah, and I just wanted to, for those that are kind of like, because at first my brain had a short circuit. I'm like, whoa, 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 what do you mean 60 something? Like the
Right.
limit is 23K or so. Well, if you're a business owner, your
Yeah.
limit is different for a
Right.
401k than it is for a normal 9 to 5.
You
So
have to
when
be
we
an
talk
like
about like, yeah, go ahead.
under you have to be an S corp, do you know? I don't know.
No.
No.
No,
Okay.
it's just a regular LLC.
That's great.
And it's funny because a lot like that's what you mentioned, and it's totally true for most of the people, the 401k is kind of like tied to the job. Oh, hey, I got the 3% match. I
Right.
only can have a 401k through the job. I can't like, I can have an IRA without the job, but 401k. And no, you don't. You can have and you're able to contribute three times as much
Yeah.
if you're not
No, I love it. Yeah,
an
and
employee.
it's, I would generally recommend people take the match if you do have a job like that, and it's quote unquote free money, but
That's how I started. So
yeah.
absolutely.
But they could also just pay you more and not do the 401k. But it is kind of a way to keep you there as well, which I don't blame them for. But so we're running out of time. So it's just amazing where you've come from and where you are now. I mean, it's just financially, and I know it's beyond finances. I mean, we've talked a lot about the human side of things as well. It's just a phenomenal. I mean, kudos to you for not giving up and for being intentional and being creative, and being empathetic and a problem solver. It's just really very impressive, your story. So, but I've got some rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Thank you. Yeah,
All right.
absolutely.
In what ways has your approach to real estate investing changed as you've developed mental resilience? I think you've kind of already talked about it, but how has your approach to real estate investing changed over the years?
As I got more knowledgeable, I started looking from different angles instead of having one option and one option only. Like we
Yeah.
said, hey, this is a renter rental. No. There
Sure.
could be different ways that I can look at to actually make it a deal.
Yeah.
Deals are not found, deals are made.
Love it. What do you think that is the biggest psychological barrier that real estate entrepreneurs face today?
The biggest psychological barrier that we face is just really getting over our mindset, regardless if it's real estate or not, in anything, our biggest roadblock, it's us. And as long as you focus on the awareness, hey, where I'm at, why am I thinking this way? What can I do to make this a deal to help somebody else make it a deal. By the way, that's another thing that a lot of people don't do enough. If you help somebody else, either it comes back through that person or it comes back somewhere from somewhere else, but it will come back to you.
That's great.
So,
In your opinion, what is the role of luck versus skill in real estate, investing or entrepreneurship?
man, I grew up all my life thinking that I'm a hard worker, and if I work hard enough, I will make it happen. So, I don't per se think that luck, it's a big part. I would say blessings are. God would open certain doors for you, but you have to be the one walking through it.
That's a fantastic answer. What about any controversy in real estate investing that you've come across? Any controversial, strategies or tactics that investor that you've seen along the way?
I think the biggest controversy right now in general is that people have, there's many voices out there. There's so many voices. And one voice says, invest in single family only, invest in commercial, single family bad. No, do the house hacking, or no, you're gonna make a bunch of money doing Airbnbs. That's the controversy of just pigeonholing yourself in one thing and kind of putting your blinders on, like the horse puts the blinders, just like looking in one direction, one dimension. Think outside the box. Look at something and ask yourself, what are the different ways that you can make this benefit you and others around you? Now, when you do a rental, you are providing a home for somebody else. Think of, hey, if it would be me, how would I want to be treated, right? So having this partial paths, it's not as beneficial as looking at it holistically. Now, what I do believe is that if you start, just start with one, whatever you pick, just, it's not so much what you pick, but just start and stick with it.
Yep, makes sense. What is a challenge that you are facing today in your own business, whether it's your coaching business or your real estate investing?
It's not so much in the coaching business or real estate. It's more of that balance between being a present mom and juggling my real estate, which I'm kind of like real estate addict. I'm like, okay, give me another deal. Give me another deal. I love it. I just love the game. And same thing with coaching. Like the biggest reward and the biggest flex for me, it's not, oh, I have this big portfolio, or oh, I've coached and blah, blah, blah. The biggest flex for me is when I change a person's life. And I'll give you an example. I had a, for example, Jimmy. Jimmy was in debt, brilliant guy, but stuck. Had some real estate, kind of debt portfolio, and his wife could hardly see him. So with the coaching, we went in and he went from, it was a matter of months, he went from, okay, I'm at this job, I'm stuck, and you can even see his demeanor. He was really down, to 2 months later, I'm quitting the job, to 10 months later, running a multi-million dollar business, to 15 months later, building the biggest coffee manufacturer facility in US.
So
And that's like, it's my biggest joy.
what was the secret, if you don't mind? What did you guys do? I mean,
Mindset.
mindset.
It all starts with
Awesome.
mindset.
I imagine he had to let go of doing a lot of the to get
A lot of.
work on his business more than in his business, but
He
mindset
went
is
from 9 to 5. He went from a
right.
nine
He
to
quit
five
his job,
job.
right. Taking that leap from his
Yeah.
job as
Yeah.
well.
And then he like revived the whole real estate and did all of that stuff. But like within, when we started coaching, and I'm not saying this because, hey, like come to me, I want to coach you. Yes, I would love to coach you. But What I'm saying is that walking that path, not alone, can
Sure.
get you, like we spoke before, so much further,
Right.
because we get in our heads. And if
Yes,
there's not
absolutely.
someone else out there to get us out of our heads,
Yeah.
then, like, imagine the lives that Jimmy is now impacting.
So true. That's really good. Almost out of time here. So if you could have coffee with any historical figure, whom would you choose?
Lincoln.
That's a good answer. If you were given $10 million tomorrow, no strings attached, what would you do with it?
More multifamily.
Nice. What is one book that you could recommend for our listener?
I would say that even though this book many of you have heard of, I'll read it again and again and again, and it's How to Win and Influence People
Yeah.
by Dale Carnegie, and I have it right here. And I'll also recommend my New York Times bestseller book,
There you go.
which is Destined for Wealth.
I love it.
And that
I
has
haven't read it, but I love that you brought it up.
A lot to do with if you want it, you can get it. And that's what I want to drive home today.
Yeah.
If someone like me, who came from nothing, who had no connections, who messed up an order and was put to be a server, who had no English, didn't know anyone, and just stayed here in US and went through get paperwork, like didn't even have a citizenship. If someone like me can do this, and nobody from nowhere, you can do it too.
That's hard to argue with, I'm not gonna lie. It's really good. Larissa, what is one question that you wish I'd asked that I have not asked?
That's a good question.
Anything you want to cover before we get out of here?
I would say I can't think of a question that you should ask. We had a great time. I hope you, the listeners, took a lot of value from this. But the message that I said just right now about go for it, do it, you can and you will. Whatever, when you fall, learn. That's your win. And it's bigger. The learning, as much as it will hurt, as much as it would not be recognized in the moment, it's bigger than any 10 million, 100 million, whatever million that zero you add to it. Because that learning, for you to take that learning and apply it to the next step, will get you bigger and better results. And you might have a bigger and better learning, but that
Right.
again will set you up for the next.
Right. And like you've already said, the impact on others too, that from that growth and learning that you experience through your adversity, my adversity, how we individually grow and learn from our adversity isn't only for us, it impacts many other people.
Yeah.
So I
And
love
then
that.
just remain human. Just be a human. Love people for who they are. I know it's hard. I know
Human.
family dinners or lunches might be hard too, but
Yes.
I always think this way. God does not love me more than the person that I think I don't want to like right now.
That's
In
a
the
good.
eyes of God, we are loved the exact same way. So how can I love that person? Now, that might not mean that I hang out with them every day
Yeah.
or they're my immediate circle, because
Right.
it's important to associate with people that want you to succeed, that help you succeed, and also you are there to make them succeed and help them succeed.
Yeah, it's not
But
just about you.
just love people.
Love that. And we really haven't talked too much. Just very quickly, tell us more about your coaching program.
Yeah, so my coaching program, I have the two different programs that I focus on. One is from those beginners that need to have the foundation in place to roll into the real estate. And for that, I have a special thing for you guys, which is a completely free course that touches on everything you need to have prepped and set up to launch yourself into real estate. Or if you don't want to go into real estate, that's fine too, but it is for real estate because I just love real estate. And that you can find it at www.unshakablewealth.com forward slash /Jamie. Again, www.unshakablewealth.com/Jamie. Now, for the ones that, hey, I'm kind of good, like I have some savings, my credit is okay, and my internal mental state is good. I have a group coaching as far as how to buy your first or next property and how to do it the right way so that you can see how it can benefit you and you
Yeah.
can.
That's great. Just kind of like the group you got plugged into years ago, which really helped launch your own real estate career. So love that. And the website you mentioned, that's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you.
Yeah, that would be the best way to get. I have a newsletter too. So if you go to the website, it's fine. But I would highly recommend, even actually if you are advanced, I would still recommend you go through the, it's free. The course is free, no strings attached. You go in, you take it, and then email me back and say, hey, I like it. Tell me what you don't like, because I love the
Right.
feedback. I'll improve it. That's what we continuously do. So on the Unshakable, it's without the E after the K. If I didn't confuse, it's unshakable with KA,
Yeah, and we'll put it in
unshakablewealth.com.
the show
Yeah.
notes as well. So
Forward
that's
slash
great.
Jamie.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way. You can also hit me up on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm on all the social medias too.
Nice.
But send me an email. I'll be happy to answer and help whatever I can, because one day I might need you.
Right. Well, Larissa, we went a little long today, but that's because it was so good. I mean, there were so many good nuggets and stories and, micro stories within each story. And you had several teasers along the way. I'm hoping we circled back to all of them. But man, that this has been motivating as well as practical and informative. So, it's just I can't say enough about how impressive your story is, and just I mean the mindset that you how you approach things and the human element that you keep front and center is just it's refreshing. So thank you for spending your time with us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And y'all have a blessed time in this life, because it's one life that we have and we might as well enjoy it.
I love that. Yes, absolutely. And to the listener, thank you for spending your time and attention with us. We appreciate it. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part, though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment. So you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com.